Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Happy Sunday, church. It's so good to see everybody. Welcome online. Welcome on site to everyone that's here. You know, it's been so exciting seeing so many of you live and in person again here in the building for Calvary Kids, again, Kids Church on Sunday, and for our watch services here in the auditorium. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been out yet, to join us next Sunday. Jump online, calvary.ca/SWS, Sunday Watch Service, and you can register you and your family, and we would love to see you here on Sunday, live in person, as we're worshiping together. But if you're not ready yet, that's fine. Maybe you're home. Maybe this falls an opportunity for you to invite some people into the house, another family. Maybe today you're having a watch party with your small group or friends or family. So make the best of that as well. Have lunch together, have a barbecue, and let's begin to regather, Calvary, as we press into the fall together, because I think it's important that we see that church is such a significant part of our week as it strengthens our faith and helps us to do all that God's called us to do. And so maybe you're watching home today alone or as a couple, as a family. Maybe you're in a hotel room on the other side of the world. Wherever you are today, we are all one big happy family. And so it's wonderful to see the reach kind of move beyond where we're at. You know, today if you're watching from somewhere else other than the area, and even if you are, just take some time in the chat with our team today and say hello. Let us know where you're tuning in from today. And, you know, I think if you've been in church for any length of time, and if you haven't been yet, we've come to realize that doing life together is so much easier than going at it all on our own. It fuels our faith. It strengthens our focus on Christ as we push through whatever storm we face. And we will face storms in this life, but depending on who you're going through life with, it makes all the difference in the world. And so as we come together every weekend on Sundays and kick off this new fall season of ministry, again, it's been so encouraging to see our church family regathering again. How many know that church is not just a place to attend, it's a family to belong to? And over the last 6 months, we've seen that family expand and grow. We've seen so many people make commitments to Christ for the first time. We've seen people become a part of our church that don't even live in our province. Maybe they're in a different part of Canada or somewhere around the world. And so today I want to personally welcome all of you. We're so glad that you've become a part of our family, you know. And I want to say to our church family, listen, Calvary, there will always be room for more. Let's keep making room at our table as we expand and push out and reach more people. And with all that's happening around the world today, I want to be a part of what God is doing in the midst of it all. And as our church continues to worship and meet together as small groups, we have this opportunity to continue to reach out to the world around us with the good news. And if you've watched any news these days, you know that we are in desperate need of that good news. Now, before we get into the message, I want to take a minute and I want to thank all of you for just being so faithful, so steady, and so strong. I want to thank you for being there for one another. You know, through our small groups, in person and online, through those here at the church on our care teams who have been calling people, and through our social media, our new video content, our kids ministry, our student ministry, I'm so proud of Team Calvary for all of the work that they have continued to put in as we still see the church moving forward. We love you guys. You are fantastic. Okay, today we're continuing with our Roar message series with episode number 3. You know, I love this fall series as we spend some time in the book of 1 Peter together. You know, we live in a culture that roars with opinions, and it's so loud these days that it starts to wear you down. It starts to overwhelm your own thinking. And as Christ followers, as those that are trying to follow that path, we need to be able to navigate this maze of ideas in order to know and to share the truth wherever we go, to share the gospel with those who seem so intent on trying to cancel it. You know, the book of 1 Peter serves as this wonderful foundation for this series, as Peter writes to those who were also weathering a storm. They were weathering the storm of persecution. And so his challenge to them to discern the truth from the lies is a similar challenge that he gives to each and every one of us. And despite the ever-changing opinions that roar around us, his encouragement, what we're reading, what we're studying together, is to continue to persevere in faith and in hope. Okay, so we're going to jump into chapter 3 today. Last week we focused on chapter 2. And so as we get into chapter 3 today, I want to talk to you about a message I'm calling Run After Peace. But first, let's just take a quick moment and pray together. Father, we just come before you today, submit ourselves to you to hear the encouraging words of Scripture, that it would change our lives, that it would influence our church family, and it would affect the world as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so what should our interactions or our engagement with other people, especially in the day that we're living in today, what does it look like as ambassadors of Jesus? You know, in this chapter, Peter talks about both apologetics and cultural engagement in chapter 3. And the chapter that we focus on, we see this verse where we find the famous apologetics memory verse that most know, verse 15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Listen, it is extremely important that we know what we believe and that we're prepared to respectfully explain our faith when people engage with us, to talk to them about the hope that we have in Jesus. And Peter says this because our faith is not just a grouping of philosophical ideas. It's all about hope. And what's this hope about? Well, it's about the fact that people can discover a personal, loving relationship with the God who made everything that exists around us. But listen, even apologists can miss the context of this famous Bible verse. And it's this context that shows us what our engagement should look like as ambassadors of Jesus. What we need to know about 1 Peter 3:15 is that it appears in a text that's not only about defending our faith. It's also about the way God wants each of us to engage with the world. So let's back up the bus a little bit. Let's look at verse 8 through 12 and look closer at how we should operate when we're representing Christ, running after peace together. What qualities should we reflect? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says this, summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. Does that sound like you, like when we look at our own lives? Peter says, it's not just for one person, it's for everybody. That goes for all of you, he says. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. That hurts for some of us, right? Because it comes natural. Instead, he said, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. And Peter goes on to tie in Psalm 34, and he says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Listen, run after peace for all your worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. So Peter's challenge to us here is to run after peace with everything that you have, with all that you're worth. You know, last year, Pastor Susan and I were invited to Bulgaria to minister to our IPHC missionaries with our World Missions Ministries retreat conference. And so it was a great honor to be there, see many friends from around the world. Now, getting to this place, there's no easy way to get there. It's a series of airports, buses, shuttles, taxis. Like, it's a little bit nutty, the journey that it takes to get there. But we were determined. It felt like, honestly, days of travel. And by the time we arrived at our hotel, we literally collapsed because we were just absolutely exhausted. But in the end, it was a powerful week. Listen, it was an awesome week of ministry, challenging and spending time with such a wonderful group of world changers. But on the way back, our travels were further complicated, dealing with cancellations, flight cancellations, delays, an overnight at a hotel or at one of the airports. It was just brutal, the trip back. And so I was about ready to lose it. I felt like my temperament, my frustration level was continuing to rise, like one of those thermometers that keeps rising and pushing to the top. And so at a certain point, we were on a flight, and they let us know that the flight was delayed, and that was going to cause us to almost miss our next connection. So we had to push our way off of the plane. We had to run, literally run to the baggage area to grab our bags, and then to make the mad dash to the other terminal, a completely different terminal, and it looked like we were going to miss our flight. And so we're just like beat. We're dragging our luggage. And so we get on this escalator. It goes up to the top. And as soon as we hit to the top of the escalator, there's a ticket agent who's corralling everybody and forcing them into this line. Now, I was trying to figure out what was going on because I knew how far we had to go. And I knew that this was just in my way right now. And so I was trying to listen to what she was saying. And apparently there was a large group on our flight that she was kind of corralling together and assuming, not listening to us, but assuming that we were also part of that group. I'd say, you know, we're not part of this group. We're late for a connection. You have to get in line. You have to go to the back of the line. Oh, my goodness. Everything within me was reaching its nth degree because I was about ready to lose it. And so there we are, finding our way to the back of the line. I just said, this is ridiculous. We have to run after this new gate in order to get to our flight. And in order to make it, we were losing time. And this lady was causing us to be held up. And so finally I just said, no. So I pushed my way to the front of the line because listen, sometimes when you run after something, you need to do it with a bulldog tenacity. You need to have an incredible focus. It's like the woman with the issue of blood that pressed through. There's a desperation that comes with getting what you need to get. Whether you're running for a bus or a sky train, whatever it may be, you know that if I don't press through, I'm not going to get there. And so I said, no! I didn't even wait for her answer. As a matter of fact, I pushed myself to the front of the line. Susan and I continued on before I even heard her response. Now, listen, ordinarily, I don't condone pushing yourself to the front of the line under normal circumstances. But again, running after something important requires that kind of focus, that kind of determination. And Peter says that we need to run after peace with all that we're worth, with everything that's within us. We need to pursue peace. You know, we're living in a day when people are yelling so loudly that they're not listening anymore. And even at the expense of innocent people or those that are unwilling to speak up for truth, they're just continuing to elevate their point. It's hard to reason with an unreasonable person. But Peter encourages the Christ followers of his day to run after peace with all that they're worth, with that bulldog tenacity that I talked about, to do everything within your power, not only to reach it, but to then maintain it. And listen, engaging an angry world with hope and peace, it requires something far greater than our limited abilities. Yes, we need to have an answer for the hope that's within us, but we also need to engage this world with peace and love. So how do we do this? What qualities is Peter trying to teach us to put into practice to accomplish this? Well, Peter starts this chapter by talking about kind of kingdom behavior, what its citizens look like. And he starts by addressing husbands and wives. He understands that the relationship within a marriage is quite complex. As a matter of fact, sometimes the ladies need a little bit more words to kind of fill out and understand. It seems like the first part of it has more verses for the ladies and just a few for the men. And he wants them to understand the importance of where true beauty comes from, where real harmony comes from in that relationship. So after he talks about this, he goes on in verse 8 and talks about the qualities, the kingdom qualities, five of them, that are needed to maintain the peace that he talks about a little later in the chapter. And as we read these verses, I think it's really important that we personalize these verses. To take some inventory of our heart and maybe ask some questions that are tough, that are not easy. Maybe we don't want to relive again. Have you ever been insulted in your life? I think if you've been on this planet any length of time, you would say yes to that. But when you've been insulted, how did you respond? How did you work through that? Have you ever been in a situation where you've been pushed, maybe like I was, to a place where you weren't comfortable being? Are you known for saying things that are uplifting or maybe critical? What kind of a person would people say that you are? And are you ready to explain the hope that you have, the faith that you have, especially in the day that we're in today, if people ask? Well, let's look closer at these qualities that we see in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, again going back to where we started. Summing up, he says, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, and be humble. He gives us five qualities. So let's look at these a little closer. The first one, he says, is be agreeable. Now, the Greek word here means thinking the same things or being like-minded. Now, today, with the explosion of information that's around us, including all sorts of good and bad information about Christianity, especially as it relates to engaging our culture, it's probably never been harder for Christ followers to think on the same thing. But you know what? There's a level of agreement that is so necessary if we're going to serve together and worship together and to be the testimony that Christ wants us to be as a unified church. I said last week, we need to avoid arguments. We need to stop majoring on the minors. People will try to drag you in to arguments all the time. I've never seen a culture today as supercharged and ready to explode as the one we're in right now, especially when it comes to politics. Whether it's Canadian or American politics, it's all being jumbled together right now. Social issues, racism, these are all incredibly real realities that have people completely amped up. But in order to understand them, we as a church need to be agreeing on the things that matter. When we talk about the love of God, it is only His love that is going to see us through some of these difficult situations. Second quality he mentions is to be sympathetic. Peter was trying to help the church understand and identify with the feelings of other people. That's not an easy thing to do, especially when you're going through your own stuff. How do I identify with you when I'm dealing with all of this right now? But see, that's what he was trying to get them to understand. He wanted them to understand the feelings of others, of different types of people. In our context today, different races, different backgrounds, to understand the joy in their life, the pain that they've experienced. Selfishness is a significant barrier to genuine sympathy. It's a roadblock. And it's important to identify with the pain of others, especially when Christ came to die to heal people of that pain. But what stops us many times, again, is our own circumstances. But it's God's love that makes the difference. C.S. Lewis once said, "When pain is to be borne, a little courage helps more than much knowledge. A little human sympathy more than much courage. And the least touch of the love of God more than all." Which leads perfectly into the third quality that Peter talked about when he said we need to be loving. See, when Peter is talking about love in verse 8, he's referring to that kingdom quality of brotherly love. This love means doing the best thing and the right thing for other people. Love for one another is the command of Jesus in John 13:34. As a matter of fact, it's that love that is the defining trait of his true followers that we see identified in the same chapter in John 13:35. Then in the fourth quality that he challenges us in is to be compassionate. You know, compassion was the motive for many of Jesus' great miracles. The Bible would say, moved with compassion, Jesus spoke. Moved with compassion, he healed. Moved with compassion, he acted. It's what propelled him. Jesus was a compassionate person. And as his followers, we're all called to have compassion as well, to follow his example. Compassion moves more than our emotions. It really moves us to action. And then finally, the last one, he says, be humble. Humility was actually in the day regarded as a sign of weakness and shame in the Greco-Roman world. Yet genuine humility is an important quality of the true Christ follower who runs after peace, who lives every day running to pursue it and then to maintain it. We need to recognize our complete and utter dependence on God and stop relying on our own strengths. And we're to regard other people as more important than ourselves. You know, later in the letter, Peter would also write in 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "All of you serve each other with humble spirits, for God gives special blessings to those who are humble." So Peter's advice to the Christians of Asia Minor who were being insulted by their unbelieving neighbors was not to respond to evil with evil or insult to insult. His encouragement to them in that time, as it is to each of us in the day that we're living, is to run after peace as we run after God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. We pray that in the day that we are living, that the qualities that Peter has challenged us in, qualities of who you are, would be seen within our lives. That we would run after peace with all that we are. And that we would work equally hard to maintain that peace. Especially in a day when there's so much turmoil. Being an ambassador of peace completely relies on knowing peace. The Prince of Peace. Today, as we close our service, I want to challenge those of you that may be watching today or joining us here in the auditorium that are experiencing anything but peace. And you say, "Oh, Pastor Steve, I would love to know that peace. I would love to know Christ." Today is your opportunity. Today is your opportunity to get back on the track that God has called you to with great purpose. If that's you today, you can pray this simple prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I recognize that you are my hope. And I pray that your peace would be seen in every part of who I am. And that wherever I go, I would share this gospel, this good news, this life-changing truth of what you can do In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If that's you today, I want you to jump into the chat. Let us know that you've made that decision or speak to one of our leaders here at the church. We would love to get you connected with resources that will help you grow in your faith. Because as a church, as a family, we're here to see that decision that you've made grow in your life so that you have that firm foundation that Peter was talking about. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again next Sunday.